Matthew. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 3. And as we go into the course of Matthew chapter 3, one thought that kind of rings into my mind that the darkest part of the night occurs just before the light. It seems like you go through the whole night and there's darkness, but then that little bit of light begins to crack on the horizon. Oftentimes we've gone deer hunting before and it'd be real dark. And then all of a sudden the light begins to show up. It just started making you feel good because life started coming back into focus. We're going to be looking at something that's going to be happening right here in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. They were thinking about the day the world turned. In other words, how to move out of the wilderness into the light of public service. How do you move out? Could we say that we're living in a dark day? Well, let me give you background. Background, 587 B.C. Children of Israel rebelled against God, following other gods, not worshiping God the way that they should. God says, okay, boys, I'm going to send you away into a land where you don't know the language. I'm going to send you into a land in which you're going to stay for 70 years. A mother was ripped away from her daughter. A father was ripped away from his son. And they lived in the darkness of night. For 70 years, they lived in a foreign country with another god in charge, with another king, Nebuchadnezzar. He was in charge. And then all of a sudden, a little ray of light came up. A prophet came on the scene and said, it's time to go home. They sent a group of people back to Jerusalem, and there they started. They started building the temple. A little bit later, they started building Jerusalem. But yet, silence fell on the land. No prophet. No one spoke. It was silent. It was dark. No prophet. No word from God. Yet people were there living. You'd think and you'd feel like it was a period of time of wilderness. Sometimes I feel like that we're living in a period of time of a wilderness. December, a year ago, there was over 800,000 people working more than they were this December. Maybe it's a wilderness. A wilderness. It seems though, as we look back, Fox News reported that there was 524,000 jobs lost in December. 2.6 million jobs lost in 2008. Unemployment, 7.2%. On the stock market scene, Bernard Madoff stunned Wall Street with a $50 billion Ponzi. And then they reported two more Ponzi schemes this week, one with about $500 million and another about $50 million. All of a sudden, a wilderness starts arising up. And we look at the Goodies clothing stores, 287 stores to close. In fact, I read in one place there was going to be 148,000 stores that would close in 2008 and more so in 2009. Would we see that that is a period of a wilderness? I think all of us, at certain point in times, that we feel like we're in a wilderness and we'll say, is there any way out? Is there any hope? Oh, I read one article from Wall Street Journal said, oh, this is a good time. 2009's bad, but look, stocks will be better priced. You can buy real estate, which will be at a better rate. But they made one comment out of the five things. He said, Americans will learn to live within their means. Americans learn to live within their means. He said President Obama would have the opportunity to reshape public policy. And then number five, he said, your federal taxes won't rise. So maybe there is something good in the course of the wilderness. Have you been in that point of wilderness? Were you there that day in which the employer told you, as I was, back in the 70s, your job is no longer here, and yet you still had a family? Were you in that point of wilderness in which someone spoke those words of disease that hit your family or a relationship that's broken? Maybe at school, maybe at work, maybe at family. I think at some point all of us go through a time, a period of time of a wilderness. Just think about it. when it's at that darkest moment, all of a sudden, a light comes out. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. It was in those days. In the best of times, maybe the worst of times, but it was in those days. God had been silent to the people, and so they thought, but yet, all of a sudden, there's this voice that's coming out into the wilderness, and he's beginning to speak. A platform. Where was this platform? This platform was out in the wilderness, a lonely place, a desert place, a place that was turned upside down. It was desolate. It was solitary. But it was out in that moment of your solitary point of life that God sent a message for you. And maybe it came from the most unsuspecting places, such as a man named John, baptizer. Well, what does he want us to learn? God wants us to speak wherever we live. If you're in the wilderness, that's where God has a word for you. If you are in the wilderness, maybe somebody's waiting on you to encourage them. Speak where you are. Because John came out, and what did John come out doing? John came out preaching. Gallup poll says, 2/3 of Americans think religion is losing its influence on U.S. life. A sharp jump from just 3 years ago, when Americans were nearly split on the question, according to the Gallup poll. Those who regularly attend worship services are more likely to say religion is losing its influence. 3 out of 4 weekly attenders, 74%, say religious influence is falling. What would you say? Would you say that religious influence is falling in our land? I dare say that we would find a high percentage. Wait a minute. That looks dark, doesn't it? There's some light there. All of a sudden, God will send forth a word. He will raise up a John the Baptist. He will raise up so that we might hear, so that revival might break out. The greatest of time. Let me give you a picture. Picture. A man named Jonah was told by God to go to this great city, a city of over 400,000 people, and tell them about God and the wrath that was to come. And he said, Jonah, you got to go tell them so that they won't die. Jonah, you got to go. And Jonah said, I don't want to go. He ended up in the belly of a whale for 3 days. Ultimately, he had a religious experience. I can imagine I would have had a religious experience in the belly of a whale too. He was spit out on the earth, and then he went to this great city that was in the darkness. Nobody wanted to see the Ninevites live. They were the most corrupt, terrible group of people that your mind could even imagine. But in the course of that, God sent out a voice. It's a very simple message. Repent, or in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. What happened? In that darkest hour, the people of Nineveh repented, and they were spared. And as we go across the course of time, we can see this. It was a dark day when Elijah was standing, there was 400 prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. And Elijah was there, 400 men against him, and one man standing alone for God. It was a dark day. It was a dark day. Elijah said, let's see who's the real God. He says, let's do a sacrifice. And if God accepts your sacrifice, then He will be God. But if God accepts my sacrifice, then we will be God. Then the Lord God will be God. It's on that day that Elijah built this simple altar, put the meat on it, and then he told him, take this precious water and pour it. And they drenched it 3 times, even so much there was water running around in a trench. And then he said, God, let them know that you're God. And the fire from heaven, revival occurred in the land. What are we saying this morning? We're saying, first of all, that from a pulpit point of view, from a platform of the wilderness, that God will have His man that will rise up and speak. And then He will give to you a very simple message. Look in verse 2. Verse 2, the Bible says, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that a simple message? Is it a life-changing message? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven. Simple. Repent. As we begin to look at these words, it's a simple message. But wait a minute. When he says repentance, what is repentance? Repentance, if we use the word metanoia in the Greek, it means to change the mind. It means to change the heart. It means to change the soul. Repentance. And then he said, not only did he say repent for the kingdom of heaven, he says to us, believe that Jesus Christ is coming. Believe that the Messiah is coming. In our country today, there needs to be some repentance. From the White House to the outhouse, there needs to be repentance in our land, in which people are going to change and focus their mind and attention upon Jesus Christ, and the message will be simple. Believe in the coming of the Messiah. Mark 1, 3 and 4 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye for the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." What will happen? What will happen when a simple man brings a simple message that will penetrate the heart? This is what happened with John. In the book of Acts, we discovered how that even after John had been beheaded, his disciples went on. We discovered about John the Baptist that if you were going to be an apostle, two things had to be occurred. One, you had to have seen the resurrected Lord. And two, you had to have been baptized by John the Baptist. What does that mean? What does that mean? Out in the wilderness, a pulpit arises, a simple man proclaims a message. Repent, change your heart, change your mind, change your attitude, and allow this to prepare and move your life forward. Are we willing to change our minds? Look in verse 3. "For this was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." What does that mean? Make his path straight. Well, in ancient times, when a king would come along, they would send out a group of people in front of them to go down the road and to remove the stones so that the king's ride would be a whole lot easier than being so bumpy running over all these rocks and stones. And so therefore he says, go make the ground level. Get ready for the king. If I were to ask ourselves a question, in your wilderness today, in your wilderness, do you need to have a shout? Do you need to have a voice to come to you? In your wilderness, are you preparing for the way of the Lord? In your wilderness, are you making the path level? Well, I ask myself the question, who's shouting today? If I said to you, who's shouting? Who's capturing your attention, your ear? Well, I would say, one, the humanists, they're shouting out loud. The animal rights people are shouting out loud. The gay rights people are shouting out loud. The abortionist people are shouting out loud. Just because a guy named Rick Warren is going to go and offer up a prayer, you got people who are shouting out loud. Wait a minute. Where's the shout coming from the church? What's the shout? What does the shout need to come from the church? Could it be these words that we, as a part of a body, need to cry out, "America, let's repent of our sins. America, let's prepare for the way of the Lord. America, let's make the path level for the coming of Christ." And you can say, that sounds good, but I'm not qualified. Wait a minute. Oh, you are. It's simple. Look at this guy. Verse 4. And the same John has his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Can you imagine that? I don't like to wear wool, okay? My wardrobe is made up of what feels good. If it's not cotton, I don't really want to wear it, okay? Can you see this guy's out there? His garb is made up of camel's hair. Has anybody got any camel's hair garments? What about a leather girdle? I mean, you know, belt, okay? Let's put it like that. What about a leather belt? Is your life simple or is your life complex today? Can we wear the simple things of life? Can we eat the simple foods of life? Can life become simple, or are we so complex? It seems like we've been spoiled with every good thing that the world has to offer that maybe we've missed sight of the best thing. And that's peace. That's peace. Here's this guy with simple clothing. He ate locusts and wild honey, and these are real foods out there in the wilderness. Boy, did he have a message. His life, truly, it was physical. His life was simple. But he came to us saying something. Let's look in verse 5. We want to hear the public response. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about the Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. What's happening here? Here's a guy who comes on the scene and he begins to speak with authenticity. Don't you like to hear somebody that will tell you something and you can believe it? I'm always amazing, like politicians say, now you can believe this. Like, as though, you know, everything else I said you can't believe, but you can believe this. Here comes John on the scene, and now all of a sudden, with this authentic message, he comes on, and people started looking for something to believe in. When the economic system begins to break, by the way, have you looked at your portfolio lately? Don't look at it unless you have Rolaids handy, okay? I did my end of the year, and I looked at my portfolio, and I found out that all this money that we've been saving up for several years now, 33% of it's gone. Okay? And I don't know about your portfolio. It may be a whole lot better, but for me, that was just a little bit disturbing in the economic system. And what about the government? The government systems begin to fail, and the educational, maybe, hey, look, I was reading how that literacy in our country, that 1 out of 7 people in our country cannot read more than a cartoon and can't even really follow the directions on the side of a medicine bottle. 1 in 7? There's something missing. But when you see something missing, that means, look, the church has an opportunity to supply something. Those people who can't read, hey, look, some of us can help them. All of a sudden today, the church has this great opportunity that we could help people learn to read, help people learn to write, help people learn that when we speak with authenticity because we really want to help you. And folks, we need some words. What does America need? Verse 6 says, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. If I were to ask you today, what are the top 10 sins in America? Would anybody know? Well, let me just give you the top 10, okay? Number 1, people don't value God. Number 2, they don't value God's position because they put something in front of Him. Number 3, they don't value God's name because they take it in vain. Number 4, they don't value His day because they make it a holiday rather than a holy day. Number 5, they don't value parents. Next, they don't value life. They would rather take life than give life. Number 7 is they don't value relationships. In other words, the home is protected where adultery can break it apart. And so therefore they're not valuing relationships. Number 8 is they don't value other people's property. We know those who would steal from you as look at you. They don't value what is truth. They speak words of gossip, words of lying, and they don't value what belongs to other people. In other words, the value contentment. Where did these come from? Anybody know? 10 Commandments. That's the top 10. But you know, if we said, well, give me a high five, preacher, and I believe in high fives, okay. What is a high five? Let's look at in the New Testament. Let me ask you 5 questions. Do you feed the hungry? Do you supply the thirsty? Do you take the stranger in? Do you clothe the needy? Do you visit the sick and the prisoners? Think about those. Jesus said, as often as you've done it unto the least of one of these my children, you have done it unto me. Maybe there needs to be some repentance going on of living of the church. Well, what is the great commandment? The great commandment is Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first great commandment. But what is the second great commandment? Mark 12:31 says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Y'all want me to get real ugly with you? I love it so I can get ugly with you. You know who your neighbor is? I mean, a lot of times we don't even know who our neighbor is, and therefore we're supposed to love them even as we love ourselves. All of a sudden, could there be a need of repentance? What is the Great Commission? Go ye therefore into all the nations, teaching and preaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Hey, that's a great commission. Are we reaching out and touching people with that great love? John tells us that there needs to be some personal responsibility. Look in verse 7. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Boy, wouldn't you like a preacher stand up there, you bunch of snakes? All of a sudden a visitor walk in and you point your finger at him, you snake, what are you doing here? Who told you the wrath was coming? That's what John did. He was out in the wilderness. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. What are they going to do? Cut his pay? I mean, he ate locusts. and he ate the honey. He was just a simple-minded preacher man. But you know what he did? He preached hell, fire, and brimstone. He says, heaven's sweet and Jesus safe. Hell's hot, heaven's sweet, Jesus safe. All of a sudden, we find this guy right here starts pinpointing these guys saying, look, what are you doing here? I was amazing. I was watching one of the CNN reports about this Madoff Congress. And all of these senators, representatives, they begin to make their little spills about what this trial was going to be or this investigation. But this one black guy from Washington, D.C., from that territory, he said, this guy's a crook and he needs to go to jail. He was the only one who had just brought it out, said it just the way it was. This guy's a crook. He stole from all of these people, and he needs to go to jail. Well, that's what old John the Baptist would do. He said, you bunch of snakes, who told you to come here? Verse 8 says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say with yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say to you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What is John saying to us? He's saying, look, if you're saved, you're going to have good works. If you don't have good works, you're not saved. If you come here and you want to be follow the Lord, folks, your life has got to be changed and there's got to be repentance. And if it's not, then what God is going to do, He's going to take all of your works, He's going to sweep up the floor, and He's going to burn it, buddy. That's what He's telling us right here. He says, look, these guys, these Sadducees and these Pharisees will say, look, don't talk to us about being born again, because I'll tell you what, I'm a child of Abraham. I was born into the household. I'm one of the promised children. John the Baptist says, you bunch of turkeys. He says, look, if God wanted to, He could say to these stones right here, you rise up, and those stones would burst up into life. It's not your position, folks. It's your heart. It's not you. God is telling us right here, it doesn't matter if you claim to be. What does matter is, what is your heart saying and what is coming out of your heart? John goes on to say, I'm being baptized with water with the sin. And he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not able to wear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. John. Judgment is going to come for those who do not know the Lord and those who are going to suffer. Hey, that judgment will be there, but for you, it will not be that way. For you, you will have peace and comfort, and the Holy Spirit is going to come, and He's going to help you to live your life day in and day out until the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that it? John has a message out to you. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes on his own. Then comes Jesus to Galilee and the Jordan. John remained and said, I can be baptized with thee. Look without me. Jesus answered and said to him, suffer to be so now. For God has become us to fulfill all righteousness. He is the son of for the new baptism, Jesus began to talk to me. The new baptism of Jesus Christ is not what the Father is meant. It is Jesus Christ that it is an outward expression of an inward reality. This is Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, now follow me. And so Jesus humbled himself. Can you imagine that? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords left his home of glory, came down now, and submitted himself to his cousin John. And John baptized him in the water, watery grave, a picture of what was going to happen with Jesus. He was going to die, and he was going to rise again. The first thing Jesus straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Son of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. Heaven's approval. It happened. The Son now humbled himself. The Holy Spirit now is descending upon him, and then the final words break out. And the lower voice to him and say, this is not the other what is the message for us today? Out in the wilderness, God is here to go to Jesus. And that voice of the Lord is here. And when you respond to that voice of hope, his name is Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he will give you, and that Holy Spirit will come into your life, and he will help you to walk. And then you will meet the approval of the Son, Jesus Christ. You will be sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the Father will give you that special moment of praise. He has said, I'm welcome to you. Don't be
Father, it's even though our country may be being adopted, God, I know that the slave Bible is still only for you. Father, if at any moment the Bible can break out again in Nineveh, it did with Elijah on that harvest, it did with John the Baptist out in the wilderness, and Father, great the Bible can break out right now here in this life. Father, we know that